In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, Christian perfection consists in charity where we love God above all things and our neighbor as ourselves for the love of God. It's through charity that God lives in us and that we in him. The love of God is the foundation of the spiritual life, for it is charity that makes our will good and the work of our soul holy and pleasing to God. According to Bishop Ullathorne, the grace of patience is given to us by God with the grace of charity, as well as to protect it as to bring it to perfection. True patience for the love of God is therefore the highest test and the most evident proof of the presence of a noble degree of charity, because it can only be obtained with the help of grace by the dint of labor, self-combat, and effort. But we have the sensible result in the possession of our peace of soul. In other words, our degree of patience is determined by the intensity of our love of God and our resolution to serve him faithfully. Our soul cannot be closely united to God when it's enslaved to sensual pleasures, disordered passions, or excessive attachment to material things. These things captivate the energy of the mind and will, so that person's love is divided and cannot be totally directed to God. An intimate union with God can only be attained through charity and patience. In charity, uniting the soul to God. In patience, persevering in that adherence to God despite all the anxieties and fears of our fallen nature. My dearly beloved in Christ, so intimate is the connection between patience and humility that neither of these virtues can make much progress without the other, nor can charity advance toward its perfection without their aid. To the spiritual man, patience is more essential to the soul than food is to the body, for food strengthens the body and preserves it from weakness, but patience fortifies the soul, and without it, no virtue can be firm and solid. God is our patience, our fortitude, and our strength, provided we rest our souls on him, adhere to him, are subject to his strengthening influences, and work with them in loyal cooperation. My dearly beloved in Christ, patience is a powerful spiritual medicine used to treat the restlessness, excitement, and weakness of our fallen nature. Amid the sorrows and difficulties of life, it fortifies our will, soothes our pain, restrains our response to irritation, imparts a heavenly tranquility, giving stability to all the virtues. As a tree obtains its strength from being firmly and deeply rooted in the ground, so also the soul obtains its strength from patiently adhering to God. Patience calms the troubled soul because it turns away from self and clings to an all-powerful and all-loving God. This is clearly expressed in Psalm 61. Be thou, O my soul, subject to God, for from him is my patience. The practice of the virtue of patience is continuously required throughout life. It's needed to bravely and meritoriously endure life's disappointments and sufferings, to successfully resist the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, to consistently practice self-denial, and to persevere in the practice of our Catholic faith until death. Whenever we display impatience, our good works lose much of their merit due to our complaints and failure to resign ourselves to God's holy will. My dearly beloved in Christ, we should face the vexations and troubles of life in two ways. One, first, when possible, we correct the situation. Second, in all other cases, we should patiently offer our sufferings up to God. Suffering is unavoidable in this life. St. Louis from Rita Montfort has written, even though you do your best, the best you can, in the performance of your duty, you will still have to contend with contradiction, persecution, and contempt, which divine providence will send you against your will and without your choice. St. Louis from Rita Montfort himself was misunderstood and misjudged all through life. Wherever he went, envy and suspicion followed him. He was even poisoned, and only through the immediate use of an antidote was he saved. However, he never quite overcame the organic disabilities resulting. As years went on, his trials increased. When he died at the age of 43, after only 16 years of priesthood, his order had only 2 priests and 7 lay brothers. My dearly beloved in Christ, unless we face our sufferings with Christian patience, our soul will be filled with bitterness and anger. For anger is a brooding vice that feeds on sensitive self-love and imaginary wrong far beyond the original offense, if indeed offense has been given. Fully aware of our selfish tendencies, the devil cleverly tries to magnify and exaggerate our pains. Do not think that your crosses are tremendous, that they are a test of your great fidelity to God, says St. Louis de Montfort. This gesture has its source in spiritual pride. It's a snare quite subtle and beguiling, full of venom. You ought to acknowledge first that you're so proud and sensitive that you magnify straws into rafters, scratches into deep wounds, rats into elephants, a meaningless word, a mere nothing in truth, into an outrageous, treasonable insult. The evil of self-pity is clearly expressed by Archbishop Ullathorne. There's nothing that drives us to impatience so vehemently or throws us into greater interior disorder than an injury or the imagination of an injury, which is far more frequent than any real injury. For many things are said and done without the least intention of injury, some from quickness of tongue, some from inadvertence or thoughtlessness, some in good-natured jest, some from good intentions, some from mere imprudence, and no one has any right to take any of them in bad part and so commit himself to anger, grief, and sadness. My dearly beloved in Christ, when things are at their worst, according to the world, if accepted with humility, they begin to be at their best according to God. All things are in God's hands to give or to take as he chooses. And an immortal soul is more precious in his sight than all the world can give. When he strips the soul of earthly things, he calls that soul to look up to him and to trust in his care and providence. There's nothing really lost so long as God is with us. Nothing, therefore, to be despaired of. As long as we are simple, upright, fearing God, and departing from evil, placing our hope in God and not in the prudence of the world, he who has care of his servants and children will turn their problems into blessings. The only good we have that is excellent and imperishable is our immortal soul and the good which God gives to the soul. But by nothing except our own will can the soul or its good suffer injury. No one can be spiritually injured except by himself. So long as one possesses one's soul in patience, no one can take any part of that good away from us. St. Louis de Montfort made a wise observation of our selfish tendencies when he wrote, "You should admit that the patience you put into suffering is more tinged than you think with natural human motives. You've only to note your little self-indulgences, your skillful seeking for sympathy, these confidences you so naturally make to friends, or perhaps your spiritual director, your quick, clever excuses, the murmurings, or rather the detractions, so neatly worded, so charitably spoken against those who have injured you, the exquisite delight you take on dwelling on your misfortunes, and that belief so characteristic of Lucifer that you are somebody, and so forth." He says, "Why should never finish if I were to point out all the ways and byways of human nature takes, even in its sufferings. Self-pity or inordinate sadness is the most selfish of all selfish things, and the very essence of self, eating and consuming the very heart of virtue. When sadness is much indulgence, there follows a weakening of the soul's power, a dissolving of the heart's strength, and an embittering of the spirit, which causes restless discomfort and brings forth indignation and melancholy. God knows what we stand in need of far better than we know ourselves. Our trials are the fatherly dispositions of His providence. And it's idle to fix our mind on human causes when they are ruled in the results that affect us by one divine cause. They're brought upon us for our probation, our correction, or the expiation of our sins. They remove the deadly cancers of self-love and sloth that obstruct and impede the generous flow of the spiritual life. They make us generous in conforming our will to the holy will of God. My dearly beloved in Christ, the darkness, discontent, and confusion expressed by our lower nature during suffering are not evil or sinful. They're invitations to patience, calls to resignation to God's will, admonitions to be humble and obedient to the will of God. But if in our interior and exterior trials we lose patience by becoming angry at God and rebelling against Him, then we fall into sadness and so become weak, troubled, and discouraged. The remedy for sadness is prayer. God is secretly present with the suffering soul, and in reward for patience, she receives spiritual strength and peace. In His will is our peace, as Dante wisely stated. My dearly beloved in Christ, if we live by supernatural faith, we will to some degree recognize the goodness of God in the crosses that He permits us to bear in our life. Sometimes these annoyances can come in the form of another person who dislikes or contradicts us. At other times it may be computer problems, a broken appliance, bad weather, and especially in California, traffic, or the words someone has said to us. It may even be something so small as an insect or a spider. Our situation is often similar to that of a novice who enters the studio of an artist. Seeing a number of tools, the use of which he does not know, he's arrogant enough to find fault with them, saying that they're useless and good for nothing. The artist, however, listening to all this rambling, just smiles and continues working. So do we often find fault with God's ways and means. St. Augustine writes about the mysteries of life, especially our suffering, by saying, "How can you dare to pretend to understand these things better than the all-wise God in heaven, who created them?" It's much like an ant trying to fathom the actions and intentions of the person who strives above him. I'll just close with a story. Blessed Serafina was a nun in the Order of St. Dominic. One day she was conducted in a vision into heaven and saw there the souls of some persons whom she had known when they were on earth. They were high up among the seraphim near the throne of God. In other words, they had some of the highest places in heaven. They had the greatest happiness in heaven. She asked the angel who was showing her these things what they had done while in the world to merit so much glory. The angel answered her, "When these blessed ones were on earth, they lived in perfect submission to the holy will of God and bore with patience all the crosses He was pleased to send them. Therefore, God has exalted them in heaven to such a high degree of glory and given them a place among those who are ever standing around His throne." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.